Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Census Technologies.
Welcome back to another episode of Consensus Podcast, brought to you by Census Technologies. Today, we're joined by the team from Caremont Health to talk about how they use Census AI Squared Instrument Recovery to help them save instruments, money, and time. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hi.
To start out, why don't you all go around the room to introduce yourselves to our audience. Marty, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, good morning. My name is Marty McGee. I am the manager of sterile processing here at Caremont Health. I have been in my role for about 2 years now. I started in sterile processing as the implementation specialist for getting CensiTrac up and running at our organization. We went from paper and pencil to the 21st century using computers. And through the implementation project, I was then promoted to the manager of the department where I work with this wonderful team of people. Angela?
All right. Hi, my name is Angela Huntley. I've been in sterile processing for 5 years now. My role in instrument recovery is searching for instruments and then ordering instruments.
Hi, my name is James Freeman. I've been in sterile processing for 3 years. My role in instrument recovery is Angela's backup.
Hello, my name is Avery Teague. I am the system administrator at Caremont. My role in the tracking the instruments is doing the daily reports for the instruments.
So we're going to jump right into missing instrument challenges. What are some of your biggest challenges or pain points regarding missing instruments?
One of the biggest challenges that I have is when it's a one-of-a-kind instrument that goes missing. And then the patient is already on the table and they're like, we need this instrument and we can't find it. So that's one of my biggest pain points.
Mine is the same instruments disappear. That is one of my biggest headaches. It's the same instruments always, same sets disappear.
When the instrumentation is expensive and we have to have the negotiation between departments of who's responsible for it and who's going to pay for it.
Why did you guys seek out a solution to address these challenges? What was your sterile processing life like before using the data in instrument recovery?
We often start with the feeling. I think that that's something that's said over and over again in these conversations around missing instruments, is that we feel that something is always missing or it's never where it should be. And when we need to work together with our partners in the OR to be able to remove those feelings from the equation and say, okay, well, according to this report, these instruments went missing between this assembly and this assembly. And the only thing that happened in between was your case, right? So being able to remove the feeling of what something is happening. And when we implemented CensiTrac in May of 2022, we knew that that was just the beginning, that we were going to spend the next couple years, you know, once we jumped the first hurdle of computer literacy, getting people to learn how to use the software. And then we needed to say, okay, now how else can this software work for us? So when Census said, well, here's a solution, here's an idea, we're always like, sign us up. You know, what can we do to use these tools to face these challenges head on? But we don't shy away from challenges.
Well, I mean, that's how you get things done, is being able to just point it out in black and white. There's no finger pointing. There's no, it's your fault, your fault. It's just like, here's the situation. What are we going to do about it?
So yeah, what was life like before using instrument recovery? Or like, how has it over the past like 7 weeks or so changed the way we do things?
We've been able to pinpoint exactly which rooms. That was our biggest thing, because we always had to fill in, okay, we know it was the specialty ortho. We knew that they were having issues. Okay, but now we can pinpoint it down to a time frame of who was in there, and then they can go to the tech to see if they was having the, what happened that day for the things to be missing. So that's great. We really enjoy that.
And also being able to know what other trades was used with that set. So if I'm missing something out of my total knee, I know I can go look at my ortho basic that was used in the same case. So I really like that part of the instrument recovery program.
Also showing us the value of how much we've saved over the past 7 weeks using the AI squared has been really great.
Yep. I don't think everybody realizes how expensive surgical instruments can be until you show them like how, you know, 5 instruments can rack up to thousands of dollars easily, depending on what it is. So let's talk about current challenges facing the sterile processing industry when it comes to missing instrumentation. Do you guys have any sort of idea how many instruments you were losing before you implemented the AI squared solution?
No. We weren't tracking it.
Well, and it's hard to track it. You know, there's a lot of places that they, you know, the instruments can go missing, especially the little ones. So Marty, we had discussed the other day about your sterile processing budget or lack thereof. So, on average, you know, how much were you spending or requesting to be spent on instruments that went missing mysteriously? You have
thousands of dollars, right? Thousands of dollars. And we would sometimes get to the point where, depending on where we are with the budget, that there's maybe a bit of a green light for us to say, okay, you know, order what you can to get these sets back to being complete. And then there might be a budget review where it's okay, guys, no more buying instruments. But you know, the sets that were available sure looked good. And then it also depends on the quantity and the cost. If it's those towel clamps that get you every time, yep, we can order those almost by the bucket because they're a cost-effective instrument to purchase. Whereas you have, you know, your specialty neuro drill that accidentally got thrown away, that's a $30,000 purchase. You might go without that one for a few months and have to reschedule a surgery or two if you're not able to get that spend. So there's the operational budget that we're able to kind of make moves within. There's things that are planned for that we know are going to happen, and we have to just live and operate within that budget. And then there is that unforeseen and maybe more of a capital expense where that's at our level kind of taken out of our hands and moved up the food chain, so to speak, to be handled by the directors and other departments.
It sounds like a really simple, streamlined, uncomplicated process, right?
Oh, definitely. It's not complicated at all.
You just walk up and say, we need this, and they say, sure.
the more cost savings one is easier to buy than the more expensive ones. No, from recent, we have these neuro scissors that were on the very high end for one pair, but it was maybe two sets that's missing it. So you have to figure out how you're going to get that, you know, so.
All right, so how many, like, so we have what, 10 major sets?
Yes.
But maybe two of those men sets?
Yes.
All right, so we have the general surgery instrumentation that we have enough to turn for all the cases that are scheduled. And then we have the specialty that's almost one of a kind. You have to be very, very careful. So the priority of, all right, well, if two of the major sets are down, we still have 8 sets, but right, two of those men sets are down, there's no sets.
Right.
So prioritizing, sometimes you have to choose the more expensive instrumentation because that's the priority for the patient.
Right.
Yep, for sure. I mean, there's sometimes where, you know, you have everything else in that set except one specific instrument, and they're like, the whole set's useless without it. Doesn't matter what else you have in there.
Mm-hmm. Not that I can think of, but this is another thing with the AI too. We are able to see what instruments actually went out for repair instead of our actually mission, so we don't order them. So that's another cost savings, being able to track those instruments that went out for repair. Basically what he said is the neuro instruments that are the really common ones that we have to worry about ordering, compared to just like a towel clamp or an Alice clamp or something like that.
You mentioned using part of AI Squared to track when your instruments go out for maintenance, which then, you know, you know not to order those instruments because they will be coming back to you. How has it been working with your staff tracking, tracking when an instrument goes out? Like you can track that in the assembly. You know, if something's going out for maintenance, if it comes back for maintenance, if you have to pull it from backstock, how has that process flow been going for you guys? Is your staff willing to do the extra couple clicks, or are you still seeing a lot of just assembly from memory and get moving into the sterilizer?
Yeah, so in my opinion, I thought that it was going to take a lot longer for our techs to do the extra steps and click the extra buttons. But after the first day we showed them how to do it, it was like they just, I just not on a snap of a finger. It was just, it came to them and they just started doing it.
I know. I think some of our employees, they really like that My Productivity report that they'll check on. And so when we tell them that there's a cost-saving initiative going on with this information that we're collecting, and someone can go in and say, well, look, I found 10 instruments today that I didn't have to add from backstock. So, like, I saved money today, right? That kind of people got excited about their contribution.
That's pretty cool.
So it's kind of like a fun competition. It's definitely something that we probably over time, once you get used to the module and it's something that you're into on your day to day, that you could definitely like manipulate in that like fun productivity side.
Make it like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. That's just the job, right?
Right.
Go to this mountain and find one thing. That sounds pretty cool. I'm glad that your staff are on board. They're not, you know, grumbling or resisting. So it's awesome that everyone is viewing this as a positive.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone feels the pain. So where we are downstairs, right below the OR in prep and pack, there's kind of one door that you can enter coming from the OR. And if somebody walks in there and they have the set and they're like, you know, something is missing here, everybody in that room feels that pain. Everybody's like seeing the search go on and who's in the hot seat and what do we do to get the missing instrument so that the patient has what they need. So because we experience that pain together as a team, I think that's why we're so invested in the solutions together as a team as well, because we want to prevent that pain from happening.
That's awesome. That's totally understandable. It's team accountability. So talking about the data in AI Squared instrument recovery, were there any like aha moments when you looked at what has been kind of building up over the last 7 weeks, like some data points that you really thought were interesting and you look forward to digging into each day?
My biggest thing I like was how we can pinpoint to the room, the surgeon, and the time. And you can see on the graph for the time of day of when the most instruments go away or disappear. And so you can pinpoint down to who to hold accountable for it. So yes, that was my favorite part. I liked it.
So what do you guys then do with that? Is that like an educational moment, or you just report it to their boss and let them handle it?
Yes. So what we usually do, we bring it to their attention. Like we've always thought it, assumed it, but now that we have the data, it's like, okay, now I have the data to show you that mm-hmm. it was this room this time. It's the same tech here. OK, Can we figure out what's happening? Why?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, it's gotten a little better, but we're still there. But
okay, so you, you talked about your staff adopting, you know, the instrument recovery kind of flow in your department. Are there other wins that you're seeing by using AI squared instrument recovery? Some of the, like the data statistics?
I guess you could count the instrument savings as a win. So the way that it was explained to us currently is that the instrument cost, there's a $40 amount tied to the instrument for like the estimated cost that we see in the reporting, the module for reporting. So being able to see that we saved $10,000 this month in recovered instruments, I would love to see that number be bigger than the cost of losses, because it's hard to count that as a win sometimes when you have the $30,000 of missing instrumentation that was maybe added from back stock that you're having to go replenish your back stock. It's hard to count that as a win, even though it is there and it is a win. It's just a smaller win because it does negate the overall impact of spending more money for more instruments if something had been thrown away.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having employees, having technicians at the workstation engaged with documenting, that's a win. Being able to see when Angela was assembling the set, she acknowledged what went out for repair, what was added from backstock, and what was found in another set. And so knowing that we have the trustworthy technician at the workstation entering this information into the tracking system, as a manager, that's a huge win for me. It builds trust with the team, and it lets me know that when we are using the module for reporting, that it's trustworthy information because the technicians are working with the system. So it's not, takes out some of that guesswork. Scanning compliance, like we know that the system's only gonna be as good as what we put into it. So here at Caramont, we're not just scanning and sterile processing. We're scanning in materials management and in the OR. So there's three departments. So there's cross-departmental interaction or interdepartmental. So the OR, where we want to know which instrument set was used on which patient, if heaven forbid we ever need to go back and investigate because something went south, that being able to have these data points, we're able to hold the other departments accountable as well. Like, okay, you guys scheduled 35 cases yesterday. You scanned instrument sets to 35 cases yesterday. We're able to see the full picture of what happened from start to finish. And so it does, it's just not the bottom line that's impacted, but it's that patient safety and patient care as well. So that's a win for us.
I really like that you're involving other departments in this process, which, you know, like you said, it increases patient safety. It also, at least from my standpoint, fosters goodwill and communication, hopefully, so that if something happens, you can call them and say, hey, you know, we need to look for this. We need to do a root cause analysis, whatever. And then you have that collaborative teamwork.
It's fun too. Sometimes there's another department that we're thinking about bringing on board, our cath and EP lab. They're not currently scanning in their area. And because they haven't gotten to know the tracking system, they don't know how it works. We haven't taught them. So they'll ask us questions like, can your tracking system do this? And we're like, well, no, it can't, but that's not a bad idea. And then we give enhancement requests to our account manager, right? So it's good too, having people that are kind of blind, but working with us. They're like, but you guys have this tracking system. Can't the tracking system and whatever that is, like, no, it can't. But let's see what we can do to make it happen.
I can tell you that team meets weekly to look over enhancement requests because I'm part of the team. So your requests are not ignored. They do take that seriously. It's a group discussion of what it means and prioritizing. And I want to throw some data at you guys that we polled our data guru Seamus. kind of pulled some numbers. So over the 7 weeks that you guys have been trialing instrument recovery, your incomplete tray rate went from 4.24% down to 3.89%. So kudos to your staff for, you know, doing the extra clicks and finding the instruments instead of just like, meh, it's missing, you know, shuffle it along. Your total savings so far is a little over 20 grand. So, I mean, and that's, like you said, that's the, with just the $40 per instrument kind of estimate, it potentially is more than that in reality. And your technicians have recovered 515 instruments in total so far. Yes, your team is doing a fantastic job adopting this solution and just making it do what it's supposed to do for you guys. What are some of the wins that you guys have been seeing in your department using Census AI Squared Instrument Recovery?
Well, I know one of the big wins, Vanessa, was that we were able to recover over 152 instruments in just 1 week, which was a potential cost savings of $6,000. So that's a huge win.
That still just shows how awesome your team is doing with tracking instruments that show up missing. Your team has been compiling this data. What are you doing then with it as far as bringing it to other departments or your facility leadership? Are you showing them the numbers to prove that instruments go missing and that this tool really is saving your facility thousands and thousands of dollars?
Yeah, so it was really fun. At the beginning of March, we were able to go to a periodic meeting and we took some screen grabs of the AI instrument recovery module. And it was the beginning of March, so we had brought in February data, and it was, I think, from the interventions tab, and it said that there was $16,000 worth of missing instrumentation. And the director of the OR said, like, are you telling me that I threw away $16,000 worth of instruments last month? Like, well, maybe you did, because that's what the report is telling us. Like, we know what our process flow is downstairs, that when we get new instruments for drawer stock or back stock, we put them away and then we pull from that to replenish. Well, sometimes when those instruments, they start floating by themselves, they'll end up in a pile that goes back into drawer stock. So it's not always spending, but it's still, you want to associate that cost with the time spent in, they're not missing forever, they were just missing for a little while. So there was an inconvenience to the technician during container assembly. There's an inconvenience to a technician having to take away from assembly to put everything back away in drawer stock, right? And then there's time wasted sometimes from the leadership team managing the missing items. You know, is this item floating around in the abyss right now? And so that cost speaks to all of those moments. So when he asked, you know, did I really throw this away? We kind of just looked at him like that's black and white there on paper. Like this, that's what we're going with. Yes. You guys were in that meeting. Do you guys remember presenting that information?
Yes, I do.
I may have been.
You were there. You stepped out. You had a phone call.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else would you say, Angela, that like when we presented them with that information, like the questions that they asked?
They wanted to know what type of instrumentation it was and if we can like pinpoint to like what, you know, specialty or what room or doctor, you know, what rooms where this instrumentation going missing from. And then they said they were going to go back and talk to their team members about the missing instruments.
That's good. That's good that's good you guys had that conversation and that they took you seriously. And, you know, hopefully this conversation can continue. You know, maybe there's some educational moments. But yeah, it's very important to keep track of your instruments. Yeah, so you want to, like, how your relationship with the OR has changed over this discussion with missing instruments, if it's improved collaboration or if there's been some sour points in this growth journey.
So there has been some improve. It's gotten a lot better than what it was beforehand. So with the instrument recovery data, we've been able to show and pinpoint like, hey, this was used on this day. This is when it was missing. So from the time that we assembled a set, gave it to you and used it, it disappeared. All it did was come down. So it's somewhere there. And so being able to show it, they'll go back, they're more receptive and go back and search and end up realizing, oh, it got left in the room, or it got accidentally tossed out or something like that. So they can see, okay, yeah, we're not just pointing the finger. There's truth behind it that, hey, we didn't get it. So they're being more receptive and understanding.
Well, that's good. Yes, when I, at my old facility, we didn't have instrument recovery yet. This is like a year ago. And we started counting the instruments in decon when we got them from the OR and had an agreement with the OR. They kept their trash. And so if we were missing things, we called them and they had to dig through the trash. And yeah, I think the first month was like 15 grand worth of instruments that got thrown away, you know? So we didn't have necessarily the data, but it was like trying to figure it out anyway. It was just, you know, a longer workaround and more time consuming for everybody. Because let's be real, who wants to dig through surgical trash?
You had an answer too to that, about the relationship with the OR.
So our OR liaison, she pushes back a lot, saying, no, we can't be throwing those instruments away. And I'm like, yeah, you are throwing those instruments away. And then, like you said, in decon, when we have an experience taken there and a set comes down and something is missing out of it, we immediately contact the OR liaison and say, hey, we're missing this. And she contacts the room and they say, no, we sent it down. It's not up here. And then I say, okay, can we go check your sharps bin? And they be like, yeah, come on, let's go check it. And then the instrument is in the sharps bin. And so now she's saying, yeah, I'll go to the room and we'll look for it instead of saying, no, they couldn't have thrown away. She's being more collaborative now.
I think it's important to point it out as maybe, as a process issue instead of finger pointing at people to blame, because they, in the OR, you know, it's a high tension area. They have to turn the rooms over quickly. And if things go sideways in a case, that adds to the stress level. And maybe they're just not focusing on the instruments. So, yeah, I'm glad that you guys are building a better relationship with your OR team.
Yeah, and it's good to learn, like, in the conversations and in, it's like we say pushback, it is. Sometimes there's tension because you have room turnover times. You have rapid turnover needs for the next case. You have cases moving based on how critical the patient is and what needs to happen next. When those things are all happening, the relationship we have with the OR is so important, and being able to learn to look in the sharps bin, to be able to learn to check the anesthesiologist area, to check the nurse circulator, to learn what those hidden places are, so that we can call them out and be specific, not just go upstairs or go to the OR, go to the room, but the sharps bin in the room where the case was, like the specific, being able to see that all the way through. And you can't do that without that relationship.
So guys, say for example, you were talking to a friend who works at another facility and they were complaining about their missing instruments. And you were like, well, hey, I know this really great solution. What would you tell said friend at another facility, to convince them to go to their leadership and try to purchase it?
Biggest thing, I would explain to them the cost savings. So I could show them what how much we save with doing this in a month span, to be able to show them the bigger picture. Like, hey, this is really worth it. If you guys can do it, go ahead and do it. It's worth it. Saves you time and money. So.
And it's that the actionable insight. So being able to say, like, because we say processes, not people. And sometimes processes they can become burdensome or mundane. Sometimes you get really, really excited and you start a process at 112%. And then after like 8 weeks, you're like, oh, are we even still doing that? Right. But when the numbers provide the actionable insight and the support, then that process is more likely to stay in place. And so it isn't always necessarily that the instrument recovery is going to come out and save you money as soon as you turn it on. It's that it's going to give you the opportunity to have those facts, to build the trust with the OR. And for, you know, as a manager, I would be able to have more to say on why we have to continue this process and why this process is important and how we've grown like month over month. And then with the leadership year over year, because our directors and our VPs, they want to hear that information too. I know I have a friend that's a scrub tech at a nearby hospital, and she is an ortho scrub tech. And so she works in multiple facilities with multiple ortho surgeons. And I would tell her, well, our instrument recovery showed us that most of our instruments go missing in ortho. And I would tell her, like, at the bedside to put the instruments back in the basket for her SPD team.
Or her feelings just a little hurt when you, like, pointed out ortho.
I mean, it's just a little defensive. Just a little. So we don't do that here.
Of course not. Never.
And then, I mean, we have kind of taken turn as we get more solutions from SensorTrack. I would say we take turns approaching some of our leadership, like James. I'm the big boss. you want me to buy this? What's your pitch?
So my first biggest thing, I was like, well, in the past 7 weeks, we saved over $6,000. That'll be my first start. So she can see the money and all. We recovered 515 instruments total in just 1 month. So imagine if we can continue to do this, how would it help save us? How cost efficient this would be. So.
And our incomplete tray rate went from 4.24 down to 3.89, which means the patient is having what they need when they need it.
Well, this question's kind of, I guess, similar to the other one. But what would you say to another hospital if, like, that they're looking at this solution and they're kind of still in deciding mode? Would you have anything specific to tell them?
The only thing I would tell them would just to make sure you have a good relationship with the OR to make sure that all the scanning compliances are there when it needs to be, and to make sure all the data is accurate.
Yeah.
I think one of the things we worked through in the beginning was, like, we wanted to know which instruments the large bone and the orthoplastic went together. And another department builds our case cart. So we had to make sure that they were scanning the sets together to the pref card, to the case cart, and then it scanned in the room. And so sometimes, like, if we know how the program is supposed to work and we're like, oh, it's not showing up for us, we're not getting the information we need, like Avery said, you can go to the other department and ask them, like, well, how are you doing this? Can you do it just a little bit differently so you can help us get the information?
Yeah, that's a very good point. 'Cause if it's not being scanned in properly, then your data is not going to reflect the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely very important. Well, we are coming to a close with this awesome sauce conversation. Do any of you guys have any final things that you would like to say to our audience that, you know, we may not have covered in this conversation?
I would say, I know that we talked about technicians interacting with the software, but being able to give the feedback. So we, as kind of a leadership team, are the ones that are interacting with the module and with the data and the information. So when we were piloting this and meeting weekly with Seamus, we kind of come into the weekly meeting excited, like, what are you going to reveal to us today? And we're able to see maybe some incomplete container rates and see maybe a specific employee might stick out. And we're able to go to our teammates with that specific information and ask, you know, what's going on here? Like, maybe you should take a break from assembling these trauma sets because it's difficult for you to replenish all of the implants and things are going up, missing and incomplete, or they need some education on how to work another system within the department that individual technicians are able to be given feedback on their completion rates as well. That it's not just about the relationship with SPD and the OR, but the relationship inside the department as well.
Very nice. I like that.
I like to make sure that there's like specific, when I watch the podcasts, I'm always like, what like bite can I take from that and go plug it in and implement it today? Like, I want to take something that I can learn. So I want whoever is like going to watch or learn from this to be able to say, did we ask them to check that sharp spin when they're hunting for their missing instrument? Like, they'll think, you know what? I don't get along with that girl upstairs. Maybe I should work on our relationship. Like, what are those key takeaways that someone can literally like listen to this and then go and change what they're doing?
That's valid, I guess. Yeah, just in case. Marty, Avery, James, and Angela, thank you all so much for joining us today. For those of you listening, thank you for being here for another episode of Consensus Podcast. If you want to hear more from Census, go to census.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss anything. We will see you next time.